good-looking person right beside you and tell that person, I'm very happy that you're here. But I will be happier to see you when Jesus Christ comes. All right? Caribou. All right? And those of you who, that's welcome. That's the few words that I have to practice, because if I don't, and I told people I need to really learn Swahili, because I think there will be a bunch of people speaking Swahili in heaven. So I want to have friends, so I better get used to it. So that's why we, all right. The scripture for today says, be wise in the way you act. Choose the way you act. Because the way you act, you're speaking. The way you dress, you're speaking. The way you act in any level, as you associate with other human beings, you are preaching. So I like this verse, and this version is New Century Version. Again, Colossians 4, verse 5, which says, be wise in the way you act. Think before you act. That's, you cannot be wise the way you act unless you process. Why? What is the purpose? Every action that you choose to do, make sure that when you act to especially with people who do not believe, remember, you become a Bible. You are an open book. What are you saying about your faith when you relate to somebody, when you welcome someone? Make the most of every opportunity. Do you know why? Because that person may have only one chance. And that chance is when God spoke to you and told you, you are it. If you deliver to this person will be in the kingdom. But if you don't, this person may lose that opportunity. So make, and the word opportunity, you know what it is, right? I mentioned to you here before, the word opportunity, you see port there, right? The word opportunity means a place to harbor or the door. And that's what an opportunity is. And so it's very important for us to use this. Now, I made up this graphic, part of it, to convey the message. There is one individual with a flashlight going to the Word of God, and there is a door, and he is going in. And then there is somebody outside, contemplating, thinking, should I go, should I not, making choices. Now, I hope that you have a flashlight in your hand. I have mine. Do you have yours? I hope you do, because today, in the next few Sabbaths, we'll be talking about outsiders. By the way, have you ever felt as an outsider before? Yes. Oh, I believe that everybody could say this. Yes. Because for better or for worse, in many circumstances, we are put in a situation when we feel that we do not belong. It is awful sometimes, especially there is a lot of pressure on the young people, because sometimes they put a label or a price on the ticket. And they say, by the way, if you want to belong, take a bite. If you want to belong, take a drink. A zip. Just touch your lips. Nothing else. I remember when I was 16, I was turning 16, and somebody offered me a pill. And they told me that if I took that pill, I would belong. I have all the young people, they offer me alcohol. And they told me that if I drink, I will feel great and I will belong. And somebody gave me a Bible and told me, if you take this book, you will belong. I took the book. Not a very wise kid, was I? Amen. Many kids they don't have the same, sadly, they don't have the same ability, or I don't know, for me it was a miracle. It was not my wisdom, but somebody was watching over me. And instead of taking those other tools to belong, and believe me, I had more pressure than some of you, because you're kids. Look around you. You have family. You have somebody who loves you. I had nobody. I had not a single person. So the pressure was extremely big. I need people, like all of us. We do need people. And believe me, yes, it is rough to be outside sometimes. But sometimes to be outside is the greatest blessing ever, because there are places that you don't want to belong. So sometimes to be outsider is a good thing. What is an outsider? A person who is not involved with a particular group of people or organization, or who does not live in a particular place. That's what definition that most dictionaries give about what is an outsider. So again, it can be good, it can be also bad. Depends who is inviting you in and what is the purpose. An individual who stands outside the group looking in, that is an outsider. Outsiders. Do you know that the Bible is full of outside stories? Many, many, so many that we can preach a sermon about an outsider for the next 20 years, almost every Sabbath, because that's so many. And I'm not exaggerating. There are so many stories. It says, the people that were treated or mistreated as outsiders. Jesus Christ was one outsider to the church at that time. To the Pharisees, to those that are holier than thou. They took him to the cross just because he refused to belong to that kind of religion. Some were brought in and others were kept out. That's what is outsiders in the Bible. Seeking salvation, you may be outside, looking in, searching to be saved. Some choose to go in, and others choose to stay out. That is what happens. You are here because you were invited to come in. So you came in. So for that reason, you are not an outsider. Those that go in have insight. Those that stay out, they have something else. Now, I want you to open your Bibles, or you can look at the screen, but you can open your Bibles, because it's always, sometimes I put all this text on the screen, and I feel sad because you don't feel need for a Bible anymore. And you need to open your Bible. Even if it's done on the screen, just open your Bible so you can get used to it. And it says in Matthew 28:19-20, this is a contemporary English Bible that I'm going to read from. Go to the people of all nations. Who should go? Okay, I like the us, but I prefer me. Because us means like says, okay, us, let's put somebody in front. I'll be the last one. Maybe I go. But me, there is nobody else. It has to be me. Okay? So, thank you, brother, for the us, but let's make it me. Okay. Go to all nations. Who? The ones who does not want to be an outsider, the one who want to invite people in. Go to all the nations and make them to come in, to become mine, my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then the next verse, which is the verse 20. I don't know what happened to it. See, that's why it's good for. I did something here with it. Okay, so read for me. Verse 20. Did I read both of them? No, 19. Go ahead. What is it? Say very loud, please. Teach them to observe all things, right? Not only few, but all things. For what reason? Why we should teach people all things? So they stay in. They don't go out. Now the outsiders, the people of all nations. That's the outsiders, the people of all nations. Now I want to, here it comes. Verse 20, teaching them all to observe all things. That's the only part that I put there. All things. There are a lot of churches today that teach them some things. But how many churches are out there that is teaching people all things? Why is it important so much for us to teach everything, not just few things? I mentioned this story before. It's a true story. A family came, a couple, a husband and wife, came to a pastor. And the pastor asked, are you a Seventh-day Adventist person? Says, yes, I am, but I'm not baptized yet. And I says, why? How long have you been in church until the time? And he says, why you're not baptized? And they says, because there are a few doctrines that I cannot, I don't get along. And the pastor curiosity asked what was, and the person mentioned one or two of them. I said, but why are you going to let this keep you out of, you know, the fellowship with the church and maybe even to the kingdom? Why don't you accept? He says, because I accept all others and I don't think I should be denied to be a member of the church just because I don't agree in this particular point. The pastor baptized them. Was that the right thing to do? Teach them to observe all things. I have in my ministry, more than 40 years in a ministry, many occasions when the entire family didn't want to be baptized because one of the member of the family was still smoking and says, we want to be baptized as a family, the whole thing. And 1 month went by, 2 months, a year, 2 years, and they did not come to the church. It went up all in smoke. Sometimes people say, I'm waiting for my husband, I'm waiting for my wife to make a decision. We gave Bible studies for more than 3 years to a family. And I ran out of subject to speak because I went to the 28 beliefs and I went through them again. I went through the prophecy. I had so many things every week, 52 weeks a year. We traveled to go to their house. More than 2 years, no decision. 3 years. Finally, he said, now I'll be baptized. I said, what? It took you so long. Oh, I have been ready for more than 2 years. I have been ready. I was waiting for my wife. It says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Not the Vatican, not the Baptist Church, not Vatican, not the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I have commanded you. Now, the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, there are a story of an outsider. And that's what I will present to you today here. I chose to use this symbol because the book of Acts are the acts of God through the church. That's what the Acts, it says Acts of the Apostles, but actually are the acts of God. Is God in using humans in order to build his church? Okay? So the outsider that we would like to talk to, now that gives you a hint right there in the middle of the name. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, who was the captain of a group of soldiers called the Italian Unit. Now, what is a captain? In one of the most fierce army that ever existed. Every historian, if you are military, you can tell that even the Nazis, they copy many of the things from the Roman Empire. It has been in history the most fierce of all. That's why in Daniel is projected as a beast that nobody could control. That's the Roman Empire. He was part of it. He was trained to be a killer. He was also, because he was a Roman, he learned to worship idols. It was part of the ritual, was part of being Roman. Most of the pagan gods that we have even today, and even some are worshiping on Sunday because the Roman gods. The Romans not only have their own gods, but they copy gods from Babylon, from everywhere. They have all sorts of pagan gods, and they worship. Even Caesar asked to be worshipped. It says clearly that this man had not only, he had a group, and Caesarea was a place where most people were military, and he was there. He was the chief. Cornelius was a very religious man. How? You know, when somebody's religious, doesn't mean that he is just the right kind of religion. But over here it says he worshiped God. That was unique. That it was different. And so did everyone else that lived in his home, in his house. So it looks like Cornelius was kind of better than some of us, right? Because in some cases we come to church, but nobody else from our family. And I'm not saying this criticizing you, because every human being have their own personal choice. But I'm saying this because this individual had a very unique influence in all his household. His example, it was the tool that he used to change everybody, he says, and so did everyone else. And you see, if you read the story, family, servants, everybody in his household in relation to him worshiped the same God. He had given a lot of money to the poor and was always praying. Now, you notice here, he was a person who was very generous. He was a person who was always praying. And by the way, it's hard for you to be generous. It's hard for you to be a person who prays and a person who harms other people. It doesn't work, right? And so it must be so very difficult for him to be this fierce Roman captain, because everybody knew that he was a good man. One afternoon, this person, Cornelius, at 3 o'clock. Anybody here knows why 3 o'clock? Anybody has a hint? It was prayer time. It was the Jewish prayer time. And so he was following. Somebody had a good influence on him because he saw somebody adopt the 3 o'clock. And he decided to get on his knees and pray too, even though he did not know a lot about that God. But he said, this must be the right God. And so he was praying. And when he was praying, God sent somebody to talk to him. By the way, I don't know how many times you have prayed and God has sent somebody to talk to you. It comes when you pray, when you make the right connection, it comes. So he saw an angel from God coming to him and calling by his name. God knows your name if you do talk to him. But if you're a stranger, he may not know your name. But if you talk to him daily, he knows your name. And he says that this outsider, as he was praying, God came to him through an angel. Cornelius was surprised and he stared at the angel. Then he said, what is this all about? What is going on here? The angel answered, The angel answered, God has heard your prayers. Isn't that wonderful? When we have that assurance that when we pray to God, God has answered our prayers. And Sister Diane, God is going to send your brother home. He will. God has heard your prayers and knows about the gifts that you give to the poor. He comes to you because you have gone to his children. You have provided for his children. Now God comes to say, what do you need? I'm about to give you. Oh, I don't need money. I have a lot of money. I don't, you know, I have prestige. I have power. He had all those stuff. But he was seeking something that is more precious than those things. And because he was seeking, God came to deliver. Now send someone to this city. It's north west from us here. Few days of trip, 3 days. You go there. There's a name, a person named there, Simon Peter. He is staying and give the description. A GPS, a precise, all the details so that we won't miss. God wants him so badly to go and find Simon Peter. So he said, one point here, this individual was so nice. Talk to God. Why do you have to get involved with the church? Couldn't he just be fine and continue here? Here's a lesson for us, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we attempt that the church is not as important in our lives. And sometimes we decide to stay at home, do other things. God shows to us, this story is one of them, how important is the church for us to be connected with the church, to fellowship, to give and to receive from our same people that believe the way we believe. He stayed with Simon and gave the description, told him exactly where to find. After saying this, the angel left. Cornelius called into two of his servants and one of his soldiers who worship God. Again, the emphasis. They worship God, everyone in his household, and they send. He explained everything to them and sent them to the city of Joppa. The next day, about noon, these men were coming near Joppa. Peter went up to the roof of the house because it was kind of warm. And he was hungry, so he lay down there because there was a breeze coming from the ocean. And he fell asleep and became very hungry while the food was being prepared. And I can see they are preparing the food downstairs, and he is up there. And you know, the smell went, and he is taking a nap, and the smell came and triggered his brain, and here comes a vision. God used that opportunity to talk to Peter. And here comes all sorts of animals. This picture does not show, but there was shrimp there too. Lobster. All sorts of trash was all there because God wanted to make a point to him. You see, the preacher needs a lesson. He already had been with Jesus. He was supposed to know all the things. But there was one very important thing that this preacher did not know. The value of a human being that is not of my same race. He needs to understand the value of every human being. He spent so much time with Jesus. He was baptized. He received the Holy Spirit. But still, there was something missing. He was still discriminating who deserves to be saved and who doesn't deserve to be saved. And today, our world sometimes is all messed up in the same issues. Who deserves to be in and who must be kept outside. Sometimes we look people as the outsiders just because they don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They are not the same age. Then we feel like they don't belong. And this preacher had that problem. And God wants to fix this problem, not only with him, but everybody else Because all the disciples had exactly the same problem. They didn't realize what Jesus Christ said in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. They forgot that Jesus Christ told them, preach to all nations. No one should be left out. So the vision, you know the vision. The purpose is not for us to discuss the vision here. But the vision told him, kill and eat. He said, oh, no, no, no. I don't eat that stuff. The third, for three times, it looks like Peter is a three-time guy, right? He denied three times. Jesus tried to ask him three times, do you love me? And now three times tell him, eat. And he said, no, I don't eat. And by the way, that is a conviction when you think that God is telling you to do something wrong and you tell God, no, not even you're going to make me do something wrong. So he said, no. And you know that he woke up. Peter was still wondering, what is this was all about? Why God asked me to eat something that he told me not to eat? Has to be something else. I had some friends when I was young, much younger than I am now, from the Assembly of God. They call the Pentecostal Church. And there was a very large one, more than 2,000, close to where I lived. And we went to the same school. And I even have some co-workers that was Assembly of God. And one day, I was talking to them about clean and unclean meat. And they says, Edelson, I have a text in the Bible that proves that we can eat whatever we choose. Thank God at that time I knew that I knew the Bible a little bit. And I says, no, there is not. And he told me, if I prove to you there is a text, would you eat? I said, oh, yes, I'll go with you to the restaurant and we will feast on that is thinking thing. We'll go and eat that thing. If you show me, I will. But I'll tell you one thing. If you don't, would you stop eating the junk that you eat? It's a deal. And he opened we could see his face. He opened, and I remember his name, Romero. He opened his Bible in Acts chapter 10. And then he says, see, all sorts of unclean animals there, and God told him to eat. Close the Bible, says, see, now let's go to the restaurant. Says, just a second. You're too in a hurry to get those unclean things in your stomach. Continue reading. Isn't that the way the outsiders sometimes, they feel so comfortable to be outsiders, they, even when there is opportunity for them to come in, they shut the door because they don't want to come in. They want to continue in that kind of experience. And so this Romero, I said, keep reading. Oh, no, 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 I don't want. I said, no, if you're honest, you're sincere, keep reading. Because the story tells you that this has nothing to do with eating. And that's, brothers and sisters. And they were asking if Simon Peter was, you know, this time, here comes the Cornelius, two, three people to come asking for, where is Simon? And they were asking if Simon Peter was staying there. While Peter was staying, thinking about the vision, says, what is this all about? Peter was disturbed. I said, why? This, I know, has nothing to do about eating. What is God telling me? And says, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Holy Spirit, acts of God, the Holy Spirit came in to intervene because his preacher is messed up. So the Holy Spirit came and says, I need to talk to this guy. I need to show this individual the light. Because he is an instrument to bring others to the light, and I cannot afford to have him in darkness. Said to him, three men are coming down there. And here is the Holy Spirit. Hurry down. He didn't say, take your time. Wash your face, No. Get down there fast and go with them. Why did the Holy Spirit was so specific? Go with them. Because prejudice was going to keep Peter from listening. That's why God says, I have to talk directly to him because nothing else is working. So I need to intervene. Why is the Holy Spirit so persistent? Because every single person is precious before God. Amen. Some of you here don't remember the person who came to bring you the truth. Some of you probably forgot. Some of times we take it for granted. Sometimes, like my brother here, Joseph, my brother Cleveland, being pastor's kid, says, yeah, this was part of growing up. But if you look back extremely careful, there was a moment, there is always a moment when we finally step in. Hurry down and go with them. And here again, don't worry. Don't think too much. Because all those things that you are thinking is keeping you from being the preacher that I want you to be. I send them as I am sending you to them. Don't look at the color of their skin. Don't look at their uniform. Don't look at what nationality. Don't look at their gender. Don't look at those things. Stop analyzing everything. Just go give them the light that they need. So Peter went down and said to the man, yeah, I am the man. Yeah, I am the man. I want to tell you that God has many times asked you to go down in a hurry and tell somebody about Christ. Did you say, I am the man, or I am the person, or I am the lady that you chose, Lord? I am the angel. I am the messenger. Yes, Lord, I am. Why have you come? He asked. Remember, this time he still have no clue about the whole thing. The Holy Spirit is telling him, go. Why? He's still trying to figure it out. Many people, when the why came to their lives, they freeze. They don't move anymore. They look at the why, and the why is where they stay. Don't stay there, brothers and sisters. Captain Cornelius, send us. They answer, he is a good man who worships God. Yes, there are a lot of good people out there that worships God. But they need for us, the Peter, to get up and go to them because they worship God. See, God could say, oh, he's good, he worshiped God, his salvation is guaranteed. Now there was something else. God wants to assure his salvation by sending him the total light, not just part of the light. And he's highly respected by all Jews. Do you know what they are doing here? They're working on the prejudice that Peter had. It says, this man already made a connection with our people. Our people have already a connection with him. Our people like him. He's almost like one of us. They are trying to convince this man to put aside his prejudice and do his job. But he says, he's a good man. Don't worry about the uniform. Look beyond the uniform or nationality, where he came from, or that he has the power to destroy you. He is a good man who worships, and by the way, here he worships Elohim, if they were talking Hebrew, or it would say he's worship Adonai, the Lord, God is worship. In other words, this God here in original is talking about the God that the Jewish people use, the name that the Jewish people use. So they understood exactly. He's talking about Yahweh. An angel from the same God told him to invite you to his house. Why do you think I underline his house there? Because if you continue reading the story, all Jewish people, all the preachers, all those disciples that Jesus anointed them with the Holy Spirit to go and preach to all nations, they had a law that says, do not, and you can see that in the story, do not ever enter a Gentile home. Can you imagine if you are a preacher and you are forbidden to enter the outsider's home? How are you going to convert anybody? So that he could hear what you have to say. God wants you to speak, Peter. God wants you to be a voice for him. And you must go. Here is the list. He is a good man. Or we can say today, he was a good person. Who worships God, highly respected by all the Jewish people, not a few, all of them. An angel of God talks to him. Oh, wouldn't you like to talk to somebody who says, we have to be careful too, because there are people there that says God is talking to them, but something is loose upstairs, you know, so we have to be careful. It says an angel of God talks to him, especially when they have a full stomach, a lot of things talks to them. He wants to hear what you have to say. Look at these qualities. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Essential qualities. Being good. Worship the true God. Being respect for those that worship God as well. God sends a messenger from heaven to talk to him. A connection with God. And then it says, he wants to hear. He has an open heart. This is what a good person is all about. Why don't you copy those and apply them in your life? You may have angels come down from heaven and will be talking to you. You'll be respected by everybody because good people are. Don't be so pressured to be part of a group that does not honor God. It's better for you to be outside of that group. But be inside a group of people like this. Peter invited the man in and had them spend a night there. Before he didn't want anything to do with these people. But now the Holy Spirit is talking to him. So he changed his rules. The next day, they got up, got ready, and on their way. But something interesting. That same day, he talked to some other church members because he wanted to make sure that he doesn't go by himself. And people said, Peter is teaching heresy. Now he brought witnesses, people from the church. When you go to visit someone, don't go by yourself. It's never a good idea. Take always someone with you, but someone who have the same connection with God, the same desire that you have to save individuals. Don't take somebody that is dressed like belongs to a different kind of group that you don't want to. So go with somebody who reflects what you want to preach. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. There is Cornelius waiting for him. Together with his relatives, he knew that Peter was coming. This Peter must be very important because God sent somebody from heaven to talk to me about him and ask me to send for him. This individual is extremely important because God talks about him. And close friends too. He invited everybody to come in. All the outsiders. As Peter was about to go in, Cornelius comes out as a servant. Usually a powerful person stays in and the people go in. But in this case, he came out to meet him. He fell on his feet and bowed down before him. I don't know, anybody here has been in a Vatican before? If that's a secret, don't tell me. They have a statue over there that claimed to be from Peter. Actually, it's a Roman god that later on they used the image and the Vatican dedicated as Peter. And so I believe it's Jupiter or something like that. Yeah, and so the people used to have access to the statue, and everybody that would come and kiss the toe. I told this story before. Give the toe the saliva, destroy the toe. So they have to fix it and put some kind of protection so the people stop kissing the. I don't know, my dear Roman Catholics. They read the Bible. Some of them do. This is the actual Peter that tells to this individual that fell down to try to kiss his feet, to worship him. He tells him, get up. Stand up, he said. I am a human being. You don't worship me. Don't do that. Ay, ay, ay. Why so many human beings not only are worshiping all the human beings, but they are putting themselves to worship images. I remember when I was attending the Roman Catholic Church, I never felt that didn't make any sense. Even when I was very young, it didn't make any sense why I'm bowed down before a doll. Doesn't make any sense. Even though they tried to convince me in the catechism class, they tried to convince me that just represent. I said, why do I have to? But they keep insisting, that is not a worship. That's just a sign that you respect. They are not there. They are down there. They are on the ground. And they worship. And he said, do not do that. Peter kept on talking to Cornelius as he went into the house where he found many people there. He was trying to preach. He was preaching already. Cornelius, even before he received Peter there, he was already preaching. He was just like the good Samaritan, the Samaritan lady. Remember the ones that when Jesus Christ asked her for water, she went and talked to everybody. That's what the Cornelius, that's what people do. So when you bring the light to one person, that person will bring light to somebody else. And when you go to the kingdom, you're going to see that you not only got 5 talents, but those talents multiplied. Amen. For the glory of those he said to them, you yourselves, we are getting there, you yourselves know very well. Here's the text. The Jew is not allowed by his religion to visit or associate with the Gentiles. But God has shown me with a bunch of unclean animals that I must not consider any person. And this is the text that I said to the young man. I said, look here, it says clearly here that God was talking about human beings, not animals. Romero. Okay? It says, but God has shown me that I must not consider any person, Democrat or Republicans, ritually unclean or defiled, no matter how much crocodiles come out of their mouth when they talk. And I'm not talking about one individual. I'm talking about a whole group of people that are saying evil things against each other. are making our nation a mockery. All the nations that are supposed to respect us are much hurt by this nonsense that's going on. And so when you sent for me, I came without any objection. I couldn't, because the Holy Spirit was telling me, go. I had to go. I ask you then, why? Why am I here? I still don't get it. In Spanish, we say, cabezudo. You know, what in the world? What is upstairs? Peter, wake up. What do you think you were called? Why do you think you became an apostle, a preacher? He said, I have no idea what I'm doing here. And for verse 30 to 33, Cornelius tells Peter the whole thing, how he started. I was praying, an angel told the whole story to him. In every country, God accepts anyone who worships him. This is verse 35. Please mark this in your Bible, please. Mark in your Bible and convince yourself that no matter how your feeling is for somebody from a different race or different thing, that does not belong in the heart of a person who Jesus Christ claims to be his. In every country, Africa, Australia, Brazil, yes, South America, Mexico, Philippines, yes. I remember one time when I tried to say Philippines and I said Philistines. Yes, everywhere, every country, the Caribbean, Chile, yes, everywhere, in every, even Argentina, in every country, God accepts anyone who worships him. Don't go out of here with the illusion that God is embraced everybody, doesn't matter how. Look how the text says. He, in every country, he accepts whom? Who worships him. And does what is right. So don't go with this cheap grace saying that God is so good that he's saving everybody, because that's a blasphemy. God accepts those that are willing to do his will and to do what is right. Brothers and sisters, Peter tells them about Christ. From verse 36 to 47, he tells us what Christ is all about. And I hope that you do today know about Christ enough to bring some people like Cornelius, a Gentile, somebody who was born not in the right place, not in the right home, not in the right religion, but he had such a good heart that God chose him to be a champion among the Gentiles. Amen. So Peter ordered that they be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was baptized. His wife was baptized. His children was baptized. The friends that came, a whole church was baptized in one single day. Amen. Because an angel came down and talk to an outsider. Amen. Don't push people out. Bring them in. Amen. The way you talk, the way you dress, the way you smile, the way you spend your time, the way you spend what God puts in your hands as your income. Remember, he was a good person because he was generous. He was a good person because he loves God. Amen. Everybody else that knew him knew that he was ready to see Christ. Amen. I hope you all here today. Do not stay outside. Come in. Be inside. The Lord is coming and he wants you in. Amen. God bless. Amen. Yes, amazing. There is our pianist is here, and I want to do something. I'm going to embarrass someone here, and I know this person is a very forgiving person. Sister Dawn, come in front, please, and lead the church with your mom as we sing, please.